Hey everybody, this is Karen Allen from Trinity Health Hub. Eugenie has asked me to share one of our webinars for you to enjoy during this holiday season. Our hub specializes in continuing education and community connection all around the globe. If you'd like to find out more about what we do or the content that you can stream on demand, visit our website, trinityhealthhub.com. We look forward to seeing you online.
For those of you who are watching it now, if you have questions again, it'll be up on my website where you can go back and review it later. So I just want to welcome everybody from all over the country. I'm glad to see all the folks who are logged in. And I wanted to tell you just for a minute about these pictures that are on the screen. There's the picture of one of the very early anesthesiology devices that delivered anesthesia in a respiratory device. And over to the right is a surgical kit from the 1800s. Both of these photographs were taken at the Museum of Medical History that is in the medical school, the René Descartes Medical School in Paris. And even though it's completely open to the public and it's free, in order to get there, you walk in to the school where you kind of feel like you don't belong, and then you follow the signs down these hallways where you clearly feel like you don't belong through these stairs, and then you go to this very impressive door that has this tiny little sign on it that says that this is the Museum of Medical History, and you feel like you ought to knock, you know, and maybe stick your head around the corner. Anyway, we opened the door and tromped right in, and they welcomed us. And if you are ever in Paris, after you go visit Hahnemann and pay your respects, I'd recommend that you go look at this amazing stuff and some things with homeopathy as well. All right, so what are we talking about today? You know, we don't do homeopathy in a vacuum. We do homeopathy in this fabric of all these other things that our clients are doing. And we want to be able to both support them to achieve their health goals and not get in the way of other things that we're doing, and hopefully be able to interpret all of the things that are happening. So when they have surgery, we've got some timing, some stages, we've got a bunch of stuff that we need to think about. So we want to support our clients first. What are our goals? We want to work as an adjunct to help the client with their emotional experience around surgery, and also as an adjunct to help with the biomechanical repair process in the best way possible. There are timing and stages of intervention that we're going to talk about today. We've got to look at what happens before the surgery, what happens right after the surgery in the immediate post-surgical frame, and then what happens in the intermediate, and then what happens in the longer term as the person is moving back into their chronic state. This basically is an acute event within the chronic state. And we're also going to spend a little bit of time looking at tissue affinities, because when we put together a plan for somebody to help them around their surgery, we have to be paying attention to what kinds of tissue is involved and make sure that we choose appropriate things. So we're going to talk about tissue and affinities, and then about giving clear instructions and doing it in a way that doesn't take up a huge amount of your time, because we can spend so much time helping our clients. And then hopefully we'll have 10 minutes at the end for your questions. And of course, I welcome your comments all the way through the class. It's great to see so many of you logged in. Okay. So, support for clients. What is it that we can do for them around surgery? One of them for sure is ease their emotional distress. A lot of clients have anxiety before the event. They're nervous about this surgical event even happening. And they may also have a very emotional reaction to the experience. Imagine a woman who's having a mastectomy. And you know, if we just look at the biomechanical process of what's happening with her breast, It's going to be very different than if we look at her emotional experience, and both of those are crucially important. And also, people have strong emotional reactions to pain. And so we want to ease their emotional distress before the event around what this experience means to them, and also as they navigate the pain post-surgically. Sometimes, of course, you know, like with a hip replacement, they may have so much less pain after the surgery than they had before, you know, that you're still navigating, but in a different direction. We want to provide remedies that are going to reduce pain in general. We want to bring pain levels down, and we want to do this in addition to whatever conventional meds the clients are taking. I have had some clients who didn't need any conventional meds, and they only took the homeopathy, and they were basically pain-free. And I've had other clients where that totally was not true. So I just want to say it's not a realistic expectation that you're going to just give somebody some arnica and all their pain is going to go away. Depending on the client and how they process pain, it could, but it's not always. So for some of you, you know, as we get into more discussion about this, I'd love to hear your stories about what has happened with your clients. I've had clients who, after musculoskeletal surgery, were on Rustox or Symphytum or Bryonia in a 1M or 10M dose and never had to take pain medications. So we just have to look and see what's appropriate for the client. Another really important thing that we can do for our post-surgical clients is reduce the risk of infection. We know that our remedies can help improve immune response in addition to the repair of wounds. And we also, if it looks like something infective is starting to come up, we can certainly jump right on that and address that. And of course, we also want to speed recovery. We want to shorten the amount of time it takes for the person to heal the wound, close up the integument, and then carry on with their life. And over time, we also want to reduce scarring and adhesions. We want to make sure that we don't cause or we don't allow further problems to happen. And a primary example of this is when someone is having surgery for endometriosis. They're having laparoscopic surgery where a lot of the endometrial implants, which have caused scarring, are being removed, and that process itself can cause more scarring, which is a cause of chronic pelvic pain. So we have remedies that we can use to help with that. So before we go into this, actually, let me go back to this prior slide. Before we go into this, I want to share with you two completely failed cases that I've had. Things where I made a choice that seemed like a good idea at the time, but it ended up being a really not good choice for the surgical intervention that happened. One of them was a surgical procedure for a young woman who had glaucoma, and they were doing a procedure where they were cutting a little hole in the side of the eyeball. Her glaucoma was so extreme that they were afraid that she was going to completely lose vision in that eye. And they cut a little hole in the side of the eyeball, and they inserted a little valve in there that, when the pressure was too high, could go up and open and let some of the aqueous humor drain out. And when the pressure was lower, the valve would close. So the client came to me ahead of the surgery and said, I'm having this surgery and I know that homeopathy can help and I would like something. So I gave arnica, and the arnica helped heal the tissue so well that it completely covered up the little valve. And it was a failure as a procedure because They had to go back, and the next procedure that they did was one where they cut a little flap, and they said, "Let's hope that this doesn't scar." And so I said, "Okay, no arnica. We're just going to wait and see what happens." Well, this time there was no scarring at all, and so much of the aqueous humor drained out of the little flap that the eyeball almost collapsed. And the doctors were very concerned about this, and so they did an experimental procedure where they injected some of her own blood into the eyeball in order to encourage it to create an autoimmune response and create some scarring so that it wouldn't be quite so open. Her response to that was that her body created a lot of little platelets as if it was forming a scab within the aqueous humor in suspension, and she completely lost vision in her eye. It was like looking through a cloud, and then it was like looking through a dark cloud, and then it was like she couldn't see anything. So we're still in post-surgical sequela. And at this point, her parents came to me and said, "We got nothing to lose now. Help us with something." And I gave her the remedy Cineraria, which is the little plant that many of you have in your gardens called Dusty Miller. And all of the particulate matter in her eye kind of filtered out. And she gradually went from darkness back to a dark cloud, back to a light cloud, back to clear vision. So that was one process where the whole intervention, we ended up with a good outcome, but the first time around, you have to be clear about what is the outcome of the surgery supposed to do, and how can we support that outcome? So another time was with a woman who had been pregnant, and the fetus had died, and so she had a D&C, which basically there's a dilation, and someone scrapes the inside of your uterus. So the whole inside of your uterus is sort of like a little raw wound. And I told her to take arnica, and arnica speeds granulation of tissues, and it actually wasn't a good choice for after a D&C. And she ended up with severe, severe, severe cramping pain, and I talked with her. Eventually, I gave her pulsatilla, which opens the os and helps all of the blood drain, and it was an immediate shift. So you can't just give arnica and say all will be well. And I think as homeopaths, that is often our first inclination. If somebody has surgery, just give arnica and it's all going to be good. So my first vote of caution is that we need to understand what's going on with the surgery? What are the goals of the surgery? And how can we support the body in achieving that goal? Okay, question about the name of the remedy for the eye. This is Cineraria maritima. Oops, I have to send that to everybody. There you go. Go look it up and read about it in Borickis, Materia Medica. Okay, so we have to be careful, and please don't just assume that arnica is a happening thing and that that's going to be the best choice, because based on my experience, it's certainly not. All right, so let's talk about before. Let's start with before the surgery. We want to deal with the client's emotional state, right? So this could be I feel scared, in which case remedies like gelsemium and aconite are safe to give the night before the surgery, you know, and even in the morning of the surgery. You know, at that point, they're nothing by mouth, so you probably want to do olfaction, just open up the vial and breathe. But that will help. And we have to remember that fear is and anxiety are not the only responses people have to surgery. So imagine somebody, again, let's go back to the breast mastectomy. A lot of these women are really, really, really angry. They're angry at the disease process. They're angry at their doctor. They're angry because they don't want this to be happening, and yet they kind of don't have a choice. It's do this or die. You know, they've got an advanced, fast-moving cancer. It's not an elective surgery, and they've got to do this. This is the experience that they are having, and they are angry. And remedies that deal with rage, belladonna, lilium tigrinum, nux vomica. Take the case, take the acute case. Or they may be feeling very sad and hurt and wounded. This may be a pulsatilla or a staphysagria kind of circumstance. But don't just assume that they're going to be anxious before surgery. Really ask, how are you feeling? How are you experiencing this plan? And what are, you know, what's your plan in the few days before the surgery? How are you engaging with this process? What's your confidence level in your physician? Who's going to be on your team before, during, after the surgery? Who's going to be your advocate to be there with you? And talk it through with them. Help them realize that they have good resources around them and that they're going to be okay. But take their case, talk to them, and make sure that you find out what they're feeling and what it is that they need. And the next thing is that there are some folks who will say, well, I'm going to take Nux Vomica the night before the surgery, or Hypericum the night before dental surgery, or I'm going to take Arnica before the surgery. All of these remedies I have seen cause interference with anesthesia, especially with dental surgery. So I don't recommend any of those things being taken before. Right. See Valerie's notes here. My understanding is that Arnica brings you back into your body and holds you in your body. So giving it before surgery can make it hard to respond to anesthesia. Right. Had clients need extra anesthesia when they take Arnica. Yep. Question from Mary Jo. Did I use the Cineraria topically as Boricke discusses it? No, actually, I gave it internally. Okie dokie. So, I tell people, let's deal with the emotional experience you're having before the surgery. But once we get to the point of surgery, and we're then in the initial recovery, the first 24 hours, as soon as a family member or whoever is their supporting team can get to the client, might be in the recovery room, in their hospital room, in a clinic setting, you know, if they've just had a tooth extracted or whatever. There's things that we want to scan for and prepare for. One of them is nausea and disorientation from anesthesia. And in the write-ups that I give my clients, I have a section about this. If you are experiencing, you know, because some people leave their body and they just don't come back. Or they've got horrible, horrible nausea and vomiting, or they feel really, really woozy and they're just not coming out of the anesthesia the way that you would expect. So the four most common remedies that I've had the best results with for this are phosphorus, which would be number one, ether, which is when the person just can't seem to come back into their body. They're just floaty. And you can read about the remedy ether, which in some Materia Medicas, it'll be spelled A-E-T-H-E-R. sulfuric acid, and the remedy emerald. If you read in Colin Griffith's New Materia Medica, you can find out what he has to say about that. It's a remedy for helping people get back, get into their corporeal form, and it takes away that haze of the anesthesia even weeks, months, years later. Oh, and Valerie says that she's also had good results with Nux Moschata. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so we want to make sure that they've got something on hand that if this is a problem, they can take. The next thing is that we want to address the actual physical surgery. Remember that your body does not know that this is being done as a favor for you, as a kindness for you on your behalf. So we want to make sure that your body gets some support around the fact that this is a biological trauma, you know, as if you got sliced by a knife or run over by a tractor or, you know, whatever else, eaten, you know, your leg got attacked by a bear. As far as your body's concerned, there's a wound. And it's not too concerned about whether this wound happened in a surgical procedure or falling down a cliff. It just knows that it has a wound. And the client may have a really strong reaction to the surgery. So you have to talk with them, how does it feel in the area of the incision? They may have very individualized pain. The things that are our leaders in addressing physical trauma are arnica for soft tissue, bellus perennis for soft tissue, especially in the abdomen, staphysagria for knife-like wounds, bryonia for musculoskeletal, especially anything that has to do with the bones, symphytum also with the bones, and ledum, especially for laparoscopic surgery because it works well in situations of puncture. And we want to think about the normal physiology of wound repair and think about what happened in the surgery. So, for example, with a hip replacement surgery, there's a lot of tendons and ligaments that got moved, or maybe a few that got cut. And so we're going to want to provide support for that. In something like a breast surgery where someone has a lump removed, there's soft tissue there that has gotten cut, and it's going to want help. For something like a C-section, there's cuts across muscles. So we want to make sure that we do all that we can to address the specific tissue that's being wounded in order to repair it. We're going to individualize to the specific location and the tissue. Good question. Lena asks about what about post-plastic surgery? We actually have good data about this from some research that was done at Stanford, associated with Hahnemann Labs. And so arnica is actually very effective after plastic surgery because you're talking about shallow wounds that have to do with the skin and the underlying soft tissue. Perfect area for arnica. Okay, so and we're going to go through examples of these various ones, so you'll get to see. Okay, so Valerie says that she's given all of her clients the combination from Helios of arnica, bellus, calendula, hypericum, and staphysagria in a 200C, and she gives it to them as soon as possible after surgery, and nobody needed morphine, doing well. For a C-section, you know, bellus perennis is great for that because you're talking about trauma to abdominal organs. Yeah. Okay, so Once we get past the first 24 hours, where we really want to deal with the effect of the anesthesia and the initial trauma of the wound, and this is what Valerie's talking about here with the combination remedy from Helios. It's really addressing the initial trauma from the wound. High potencies are appropriate here. 200, 1M, don't feel bad about it. You know, give them stuff that they can have on hand. A 200 or a 1M of a Hypericum or Staphysagria, Calendula, Bellus, Arnica, any of those remedies, phosphorus, ether, those high potencies are very appropriate for the intensity of that physiological experience. Question about plastic surgery. Let me address that when I get into other individual things toward the end, because yes, there are some other great tools to use. Okay, so we want to individualize. Once you get past the first day or two where you're really dealing with the fact that there was trauma, then is our room to really individualize. So let's go through that. Supporting granulation of soft tissue, think about arnica. For people who have surgery on their eyes, think about aconite. Aconite is called arnica of the eye. And in my experience, for people who have cataract surgery or for people who have detached retina repair or any of those kinds of things, aconite works great, and I usually give it in LM potencies. And I have the client take it frequently, 3 or 4 doses a day. And I've also used high potencies, 1M, 10M, in cases of trauma to the eye where it was getting repaired. But remember aconite and eyes. I think that it works better than arnica. For trauma to bones, joints, ligaments, bursa, that kind of stuff, symphytum, calcfos, bryonia should also be in there. And these are things that are really going to help reduce the pain and help the body begin to repair. And again, we're in this intermediate zone where we're still dealing with the trauma. Damage to the periosteum, the ligaments, and the tendons. This is from Ruta. Ruta has a very strong affinity here. People who have laparoscopic surgery, one of the things that they do, they make a little incision. It's like they drill a little hole, and then they pump gas into, say, the abdominal cavity so that they can see what's going on in there. It gives them space to work. And clients can have a lot of discomfort and may or may not do really well after having been sort of puffed up like that. So carbovegetabilis is an excellent remedy after laparoscopic surgery, and ledum, which, you know, it makes sense for puncture wounds. It helps a lot when people have pain at the site of the puncture. Okay, hypericum, obviously, and nerve tissue. When people have had a lot of trauma to the skin, graphites and sulfuric acid are also excellent remedies to think about, and these may be helpful in cases where arnica is not really helping. Sulfuric acid should be a remedy that you think of when somebody has deep bruising that arnica is not really helping. Oh, thank you. And Jana's telling us that Rifanus also is really good after abdominal surgery. Thank you. Are there particular indicators for it that you think of, or you just work with it because you've seen it work? Jana's a midwife. Right, Jana? So if you have some hints about Rifanus that you'd like to tell us, that would be great. All right, and then issues with the incision. Think about Staphysagria, which is a great remedy for knife wounds. When people have an incision that won't heal, you know, think about silica, non-union of fractures, that kind of thing. And then prevention of infection. When somebody begins to have any kind of smelly discharge from an incision, I want to jump right on that and get them something like Hepersulf, Calendula, Graphites in potency. And if they begin to run a fever, I jump right into sepsis remedies. We're not messing around here. I want that person to be taking Pyrogen and Lachesis and Belladonna, things that, yes, gunpowder, excellent. Valerie, you're on it. You guys know this stuff. Okay, once we get through that, then we go into the recuperation phase. And this could be a few weeks, depending on what the surgery was. It could be a few months. It takes months to get through joint replacement. And it might take a few weeks to get through, you know, a C-section. And then you've got the recuperation. And here's where we really want to be preventing adhesion and scarring. Low potencies, X potencies of graphites or thiocyanamidin, which is mustard seed oil. These have a really strong affinity to the skin and the fascia. And so, especially for clients who have scarring issues in general, and if part of the goal of the surgery is to prevent scarring, like the little, if I had given graphites, I think, for the situation with the eye, where the little valve was put in, I think we would have had a much better outcome and not needed the second surgery that had such a disastrous outcome. So read about graphites and thiocyanamidin. And then if people begin to form keloids or the scar tissue is kind of going nuts, think about natnir and silica. In some cases, I've used natrium silicata. But both that group of remedies tends to work really, really well. Obviously, there, if you look up keloids, there are many, many different remedies that are associated with keloids. This is a good place to start and watch for the feedback that you get from the vital force. Okay, and then think about Rustox when you're trying to prevent adhesions and scarring. Let's say that somebody had a meniscus tear on a knee or some kind of an issue with a shoulder joint, and they've had a surgical procedure there and they don't want scarring that limits fascia, ligaments, and fibrous tissue. Think about Rustox in low potency in those settings. Okay, so we're in the later stage, and again, we're trying to facilitate a return to normal function. Have you guys, is there anything else that anybody else wants to say about prevention? Oh, excellent question from Swavanti. Any particular remedy for blood loss during the process of surgery? Great question. There are three things that I tend to do when people have had a lot of blood loss. One of them is China, and I usually give that in a high potency, like one or two doses of China 200C. This can also happen after childbirth. And then ferrum fos, cell salt, or something low like a 6C, 6X, multiple times daily. And then I usually also get people started on two gemotherapy tinctures. One of them is the one from Boiron. It's Cornus sanguineus. And from Boiron, it's called Blood Twig Dogberry, which sounds really goofy. From some of the other vendors, it's called Dogwood. And, the other one is, if you eat, it's tamarind. Tamarisk. There you go. So those two help rebuild the blood. And I've had really good results with this. Anybody else want to comment on the blood loss? When blood clots, excellent. This is a great question. When blood clots are a noted risk after the surgery, then there are two things that I do. One of them is that I usually get people started on Bothrops or Viperra, like in an LM potency daily. And I also get them started on, what's the, those of you who have sat in my classes, what's the name of the Japanese supplement that helps with blood clotting? I can't think of the word for it right now. Natto, thank you. You guys are all ahead of me. Great. So, if you have natto, you just buy it at the store and take one capsule daily. It's sort of a naturopathic equivalent of heparin and works really well. And, you know, again, these are things where you may know way in advance what's going on with this surgery and what the risks are. So you can talk with the client all about this in advance so they have everything on hand and so they're ready. It'll help ease their distress about this. Okay, so once another, we're into the recuperation phase, another one of our goals is facilitating their return to normal function. We want to support their stamina. Arnica is actually a great remedy for supporting stamina. Cell salt combinations like Bioplasma. It's great. Another possibility is to get them on amino acids. I like to use the amino acid complex by a company called Solgar, Solgar. It's all of the essential aminos, things that the body can't make itself, in roughly equivalent amounts. And taking that is great. Another thing that really helps with stamina is Endorphagen, which is DLPA and B vitamins. And it helps to reduce pain and help people recover, brings their energy back up. Okay, when there are specific questions from Will, when there are specific organ weaknesses that are not directly related to the site of the surgery, do you address these with intercurrent dosing of other remedies? Yeah, when there are other weak links that are being pushed on. So, for example, somebody who's had bladder surgery and they've got kidney weakness, and so they're taking serum anguilla, and you just kind of weave it back and forth in with the other remedies that are going on. Oh, and we've got a good comment from Jana about serrapeptase as well, along with the natto. See, you guys know so much. Aren't we a wonderful community? Okay. Strontium carb for collapse after surgery. That's a great one, especially with musculoskeletal surgery. Strontium carb is, in a lot of ways, it's like an underlay of calc carb, and it helps build the energy. So yeah, especially like in a 6x, 9x, 12x, a couple times a day. I just want you guys to be thinking, how can you sort of get halfway between homeopathy and nutrition so that the body doesn't really have to digest it and the liver doesn't have to filter it, but the vital force gets the message of metabolic support. And also think about support while weaning off pain meds. Nux vomica is great for this. Constipation after morphine. Nux vomica is wonderful for that. Opium as a remedy, but I usually find Nux vomica works better. Again, Endorphagen. Another one is Ammonium valerianicum, which helps especially for people who have been on Dilaudid for a long time and they're coming off of it. And then talk to the client about their return to their chronic state. You just keep evaluating in chronic care. Are you back to where are you now compared to your pre-surgery place? And are we ready now to continue on with the chronic work of building health for you? And look to identify deficits. We don't want to wait until 2 years later where the person says, yeah, I never quite got it back together after that such and so surgery. You want to be on it now, looking for and evaluating that. Opportunities for repair, opportunities for growth. Okay, nice comment here from Allison about strontium carb, which helped with nerve pain after an anesthesia needle. Okay, dental client in the mouth. Yes, if they're on Dilaudid, that would be ammonium valerianicum. It works great in LMs. It helps all of the drug stuff out of the brain. Okay, and just practical considerations. Wherever possible, you want to provide all of this information to the client in printed documentation with clear explanations. We're going to go through some examples, and I'll have them posted for you on my website with the recording of this so that you can see. And you want to address various possibilities. What do you do about the anesthesia? What do you do in the right immediately after the surgery? What do you do in the 3 to 5 days after that? What do you do in the 2 weeks after that? You want to break it all out. Wherever possible, you want to review this with the client and the caregiver. Have the person who's going to be that client's ally or advocate or caregiver come into the appointment or be on a phone call with you where you can all go through it together so everybody understands. Get the remedies on hand. I order these to be drop shipped to the client in advance. And agree on a check-in time. When are you going to first talk to either the client or the caregiver post-surgery? And when are you going to follow up? How are you going to set the rhythm so that you can make sure that you provide good support? And, you know, this is a consideration in terms of timing for you. You might have a whole series of 5 to 7 minute conversations. And so what I tell the clients is, I will take, you know, the amount of time that I spend, the few minutes prepping, the time I talk with you, the few minutes cleaning up from that, and that's going to be accumulated until I get to an hour, and then I'll bill you for an hour. So it's not free gratis time. It's time that you're getting paid for, but it's like a consult that's split across the week or two after they have surgery. And where it's possible, there are, you know, docs and nurses get very wary of weird naturopathic things or homeopathic things or herbal things because they can cause big reactions. So I talk to people about, you know, wherever possible, this is homeopathy, it's nanopharmacology, there's no material dose, it cannot have any drug interactions, and the client believes in this, and I understand that you may think it's hooey, but just the placebo effect on the client merits this. And when I'm able to have that conversation, there are times where I've been able to get the doc to write in the chart to the nurse, give Arnica every 4 hours, 2 pellets. So try having these conversations, especially if you're working with younger docs, you got better chance. All right, so let's talk about tissue affinities. I want you to, if you click on maximize in the upper right-hand side of your screen, you can make this bigger. We're not going to go through all this in detail. I just want to make sure that you guys have this information. These are the remedies that are the most likely to come up. When they're going to come up, what their modalities are, the way the client will describe the sensation, what are the affinities, concomitants, characteristics, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so page one, you'll have this whole document that you'll be able to download from my website. Okay, so this is Arnica through opium, and this is rhododendron through symphytum. Same kind of detail. And then here's just a quick cheat chart. If this is all you know, where do you want to go? So, fractures, symphytum, eupatorium, bryonia, arnica, silica. Those are your biggies. Sprains and strains, the next team And for chronic recurrence, people who have weak joints and repeated strains, calc carb and strontium carb. Bruises and blows and contusions, arnica, bellus, sulfuric acid, spinal trauma, hypericum, ledum, helleborus, nitric acid, opium. You could probably add nux vomica in there on a good day. Plantar fasciitis, people who are having foot surgery, Rustox, rhododendron, calc floor, Morton's neuroma, scarring and adhesions, dislocations. So these are the kinds of things that these remedies are going to be called for. Spinal trauma. Oh, you know, that's interesting. I see NAT solve so much for head trauma, but I haven't actually seen it be very useful when it comes down to the rest of the spine. I don't know, what about the rest of you guys? Have you had good results with NatSulf in the rest of the spine? Have you seen that, Valerie? Okay. All right, so examples, you know, we can talk about all this theoretical stuff, but let's look at a few examples and save time for yourself by creating, I'll put all of these up on my website as documentation for this class, so you'll be able to download them all. Save time for yourself, create generic templates that you can modify. So let's look at one of these. Here's an oral extraction protocol. Again, if you click page width on the upper right, it'll make it bigger, and you can click maximize to also make that bigger. All right, so I give it broken out in steps like this. Step one, prior to, get all this stuff on hand. Prepare it for use. Use an 8 to 12 ounce disposable water bottle with a pop-up lid. One of the biggest issues post-surgically is knocking stuff over so that it falls on the floor, it's all spilled, they can't use it. Getting those water bottles that have the little sport pop-up lid so that you don't have to unscrew anything and you can just squirt it into their mouth, that works great. You can drip it into their mouth. Now, you know, if you get it together so that you have little eyedropper bottles and all that kind of stuff, some clients like that, but it can also make the medical staff very nervous. What is in those? What are you giving? And they don't tend to worry too much at all when they see a water bottle. So, step two, as soon as possible after the surgery or extraction, take the arnica, have a family member bring this to you. And it explains exactly. And then it says, you know, follow your physician's instructions for icing, for pain meds. The homeopathics won't interfere, and the pain medications you're given won't interfere with the action of the remedies. I'm not always sure that that's true. But, you know, I tell people, stay ahead of the pain. Don't wait until it really, really hurts. You were trying just the homeopathics, and then you're in severe agony with huge swelling. You didn't do the icing. You didn't do... No. Follow the directions. And talk with them before. What do you feel comfortable trying? And then on the evening of the surgery day, take a dose of hypericum, blah, blah, blah. Now, this was made for a specific client for a specific agenda. And I modify these and adjust them for each client for exactly what they need. Oh, look at Jana's note here. I use spray bottles or 8-ounce bottles. She's written holy water with some local docs who took arnica bottles. That's funny. And in hospice care, we soak cotton. Oh, great. And put the pad in between the cheek and the base of the tea and squirt it. Great. Good options. Okay, and so now here down at the bottom, there's a couple of options here for chamomilla or bryonia. Now, this was for one particular client. Let's say that I have a different client where I see a different pattern. I'm going to adjust these, but I'm going to have these steps of prior to surgery prepare, as soon as possible, the evening of that day, starting the next few days after that, for this amount of time. Okay? So this is an example. Let's do another one. There are some clients who are, they just can't deal with anything very challenging. And so they just, the bare bones. Here's another example. Please use these remedies for support. Arnica in 200, Arnica 30. I like those, you know, Hahnemann Labs has the Alpine Pharmaceuticals blister pack Arnica in a box where it's got the 1M and then a bunch of 12 Cs. Those are great. I give those to clients for surgery prep. All right. So tells you what this top part is like the shopping list. What do you need to get on hand? Or if I'm going to send it to you, make sure you put it in a little bag to take to the hospital or to the clinic. All right, and then to use these remedies, what do you do? And here's the instructions. Repeat this hourly. If you're having persistent nausea or feeling spacey or woozy, then take some phosphorus. Now, this particular client that I wrote this for was somebody who was quite sensitive. So you see that there's a little bit of Arnica 200, but everything else is in lower potencies. So there are other clients where I might make this a 1M or a 10M. If you're experiencing severe pain at the surgical site, then you take Staphysagria. And then on the evening of your surgery, start with this thing. Okay, so you've got basically the pieces here. Adjust them however you need to help the client individualize. Okay? So that gives you some examples so that you can see what I'm talking about with the instructions and creating templates. And if you have to figure it out for one client, write it up like this, save it as a document so that you don't have to start from scratch. And, you know, when you explain it to somebody and you just make little notes on a piece of paper, then you have to start over from scratch the next time and you got to think it all up again. So make a form and stick it somewhere in a file. I have in my computer, I have a big folder called Homeopathic Practice. And within that, I have little folders. One of them is intake forms from clients, and one of them is lab notes from clients, and one of them is forms that I give out to people, all different kinds of adjuncts. And my forms for surgical stuff are in there. Okay? So, time for questions. Do you guys have questions or other comments, other things you've seen work or specific circumstances that you're concerned about? Can I email the PDF to you? There are a whole bunch of people on here whose emails I'm not sure that I have. So what I will do is create a page on my website under continuing ed training, and I will put this document and all the other adjunct things there so that everybody can get to them. But you'll have to go look at my website. I'll do it tonight or very early tomorrow morning. And so look for the free CEU on, it'll just have the same name, you know, helping clients, homeopathy for clients having surgery. Okay. I often tell clients don't put their remedies in the fridge for a couple of reasons. One of them is because if you're in the hospital, and you're worried about it, clients are worried about it, and they ask the nurse to put it in the fridge, it just disappears and you never see it again. And if you put your water bottle with Arnica or Hypericum rebellus or whatever in the fridge, somebody comes in and drinks it. Kids drink it, whatever. As soon as you put it in the fridge, it stops being medicine. So, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Ideas for bunion surgery. Bunion surgery is its own unique thing because it involves bones, fascia, and periosteum. And so I have clients alternate bryonia, ruta, and calc floor. and talc floor in every potency, also for cataracts. The other thing that I have people do post-cataract surgery, I usually have them on aconite, LMs, and calc floor cell salt. And I also ask them to get a product from LEF.org, Life Extension Foundation, called Bright Eyes 3 drops that are nutritional drops. The glycation that is the cause of cataracts is almost certainly a nutritional deficit. And so the thing that we really don't want to have happen is for the cataract to be removed and then it just comes back. And we see this a lot in older people. So the Bright Eyes drops have N-acetylcarnosine, which actually helps break down and reverse the glycation, and other kinds of nutrition, bilberry and vitamin A, and it's got a bunch of stuff in there. It's kind of expensive and clients gripe about it, but they use it. Yeah, bryonia and ruta in higher potencies and calc floor in 6x potencies for bunion surgery. Bunion surgery is really hard because it takes a long time, like usually for the first week, you know, people have to have their foot above their waist, and it can take months without this. Strontium carb is good. Symphytum, if there's a lot of bone pain, individualized within that group, but if you stay, would it reverse cataracts? The Bright Eyes drops, yes. The N-acetylcarnosine drops do reverse cataracts. I've seen this in my clients, and there's research out of Russia showing this. But again, you have to kind of get somebody who's in the early stages of cataract. They're not blind because of the cataract. They're in the early stages of it, and they've got time. Because it took months to show up, it'll take months to reverse. But it is a nutritional deficit. Gemos can be great for that too. Okay, guys, any last questions? We're finishing up our last couple of minutes here. Can I talk about my new job? I am working for a foundation that is doing biofield research, and it's incredibly exciting, and I am in a stage of work now where we're writing up a lot of the research publication documents. They've been drafted, but they've been drafted by people who don't have English as a first language. And so there's some sentences where there's no verb. And so it's fascinating and amazing to be working with all of that. There's not anything else that I can tell you about it yet, but because we can't talk about stuff until it's published. But we're in the process, and it's very exciting. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Yeah, biofield as in energy of the body, biofield as in homeopathy, biofield as in acupuncture, biofield as in meditation. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, guys. Blessings to you all. Watch for this on the website, and you'll be able to download it and get all of these documents. I've also got information on the website about a couple of other classes that are coming up. Menopause, gout. There'll be an organ-focused class on gout because this is a growing issue. And a one-day workshop on imponderables. And there's a couple of other free webinars. One of them is going to be teaching clients how to make auto-nosodes. And another one is managing herpetic eruptions acutely. Thank you. All right, guys. Best wishes to you all. I'll look forward to seeing you another time. Take care. Bye-bye.